This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
Our first reading today comes from 1 Peter in chapter 4, verses 12 through 14, and chapter 5, verses 6 through 11. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in so far as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from John chapter 17, verses 1 through 11. In the previous chapters of John, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, getting them ready for his death and telling them what to expect of their life after his death. In the last few passages of chapter 16, Jesus is double-checking with his disciples to make sure that they completely understood what he was telling them. After their assurance that they did indeed understand him, Jesus concluded with these words. Hear now the words from the Gospel of John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you. Since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now that they know that everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me I have given to them, and they have received them, and they know the truth, that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I'm coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, as we are one. Here ends the reading of the Gospel, the Word of God. May God bless the reading, the hearing, and more importantly, the understanding of His Holy Word. Amen. Jesus and His disciples were in Jerusalem for the Passover. In the upper room where the Last Supper took place, Jesus told the disciples about the betrayal, the denial, and His death. He also gave them instructions and warnings about what they could expect from the public after his death. Our gospel selection today came at the end of his instructions, after he made sure that everyone understood as best as they could what he was saying and what was going to happen. Jesus offered up the prayer that we heard today. Now, in preparation for today, I was reading the gospel lesson, and I got to the point where Jesus says, "And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you." And that's where the title of my sermon came from. It started out as a little tiny blip. We are the world. It popped into my brain, and I thought, oh, remember that song from the 80s? Yeah, I'm just going to ignore that. Get that out of my head. But, you know, it just wouldn't go away. It just seemed to roll around up there for a while, and I let it lay, reading the scriptures over and over again. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. Well, I thought it would gather dust and roll away, but it took shape. The more I thought about it, the more ideas began rolling around, and I finally decided, apparently, that's where the Holy Spirit intended me to go. Now, you remember that song from long, long ago, probably long buried in your memory, and you probably thought, we are the world. That's strange. In 1985, singer, songwriter, actor, and social activist Harry Belafonte wanted to record a song that would generate money for a specific cause, ending hunger in Africa. He asked three well-known musicians to write the song. Stevie Wonder was unavailable, that leaving the songwriting to Michael Jackson and Lionel Richie. The song was recorded by a group called USA for Africa, which comprised the talents of many famous and quality musicians at that time. The song We Are the World went on to sell an estimated 20 million copies worldwide, with proceeds going to aid hungry people in Africa. As a young adult at that time, I remember thinking that it was a pretty good song. I loved watching the video on MTV. And I also must admit that at that time, I wasn't too aware of what was happening in the world around me, outside of my own little village. I probably had no idea that there was a famine even going on in Africa, much less really cared about it. I mean, you know, at 17, you're thinking car, dragging mane on Friday night, not much from Africa. I knew that there were less fortunate people in the world. After all, my mom always told me, eat your vegetables, because there were starving children in India who would be grateful for what I had on my plate. But the images that conjured up were of small Indian children looking at my plate full of green beans and turning up their noses as well. Africa was a whole world away. But regardless of my small town views, I went out to the record shop. Yes, I said record. And purchased my own copy of We Are the World. I sat listening to it, and I remember feeling a little really good about myself, full of pride. I had just done something to help someone who was less fortunate than me. Someone I didn't even know. I had become a missionary. I was so excited about that. I told my friends that I had purchased my record so that some of my money would travel across the world and help someone get some food. I felt so worldly. I took a stand. I made an impact. And then I went to math class. So much for changing the world. Well, many years have passed since the recording of that song, and we don't really hear it played on the radio stations very much, if at all, anymore. It has become somewhat of a remember when song that you tell your kids about. And many years have passed since I was that kid in 1985 who thought she was so worldly that the record she bought for $2.99 would save the world. But that was really just the beginning for me. And I'll tell you more a little bit about that later on. But in our gospel lesson today was a prayer. A prayer for a group of people who were charged with a tremendous undertaking, spreading Jesus' message to the world. Let's stop and think about this for a minute, okay? Let's think about this in here. right here, right now, in this spot, in this time, place yourself in the disciples' shoes for just a moment. As if all of that were happening, if it's happening right now, place yourself there. The message that you have heard and witnessed and been a part of for 3 years rests solely in your hands. You've been traveling Iowa for the past 3 years, spreading that message. You've been accepted in some places, rejected in others. You know what the feeling of rejection feels like. You know the highs and the lows. But now, you're not just in charge of delivering the message to a small area. You're in charge of delivering the message to the world. Are you nervous? Are you a little scared? It's quite an undertaking for anyone. Jesus prayed for his disciples. He knew it wasn't going to be an easy task for them. Jesus had been with the same group of men for 3 years, and he knew that they often did not understand what was going to happen, and often did not understand the message, nor did they understand the intended receiver of that message. Jesus spent a lot of time explaining things to his disciples. And in the previous chapter, he spent a great amount of time to make sure that they really completely understood his message. Oh, they all agreed that they did. But I think Jesus had his doubts. I think offering the prayer was Jesus' way of reiterating one last time the importance of what their life was going to be like. And he let the disciples hear it, hoping that it would all sink in for good this time. And if you think about it, if Jesus really didn't have any doubts about their abilities, he wouldn't have prayed for them, or he would have done so in silence. We all know how well they did after his death. It took them a little bit to get going. They had a grieving period. But they finally got their act together, and they went out into the world, spreading the message that Jesus charged them with. But their turn is over, and it's now our turn. We are now charged with spreading the message of Jesus Christ. It is us who is in need of that prayer. We are now in the world. It is our turn. So what do we do? How do we spread Jesus' message? It's a scary place out there. If we travel worldwide, we face persecution just for being from the United States, let alone talking about Jesus in some countries. This is not an easy world that we live in. How then do we accomplish what we have been charged with? For some, it's really easy. Some find it within their means and their comfort level to travel the world and to do just that. And I applaud them for that. I really do. But for others, just taking a step out of town is a very hard thing to do. And let's face it, our world is filled with life-threatening people and experiences. It's sometimes hard to even share a smile with anyone. But you know, sometimes that's all it takes. That's all it takes to spread the message of Jesus Christ. A handshake, a good morning, a cup of coffee for a stranger, a meal for a weary traveler, a couple of dollars out your window of the car to a hitchhiker on the exit ramp of the interstate. Spreading the message of Jesus doesn't take much sometimes. It doesn't take traveling across the world to foreign countries. It can begin right at home, in your own hometown. There are people everywhere who need to feel the loving touch of Jesus right in our own backyard. But sometimes it's hard for us to step out of our comfort zone and help others. We let our opinions and our judgments crowd out the Christianity in our hearts. We see people as they are on the outside. We see the homeless person as lazy, not wanting to work, smelly, scary. When in reality, many are lost, locked in mental illness or addiction, unable to make rational decisions concerning their life. It's hard to approach someone like that. It's very hard. I told you earlier that buying my We Are the World record was just a beginning for me. My husband might call me a sucker, but I'm one of those that goes around large cities and I put money in the cups of the people on the corners. Or I might buy an extra meal at the fast food restaurant, and if I see a man sitting outside who appears homeless, I'll offer him the meal. Sure, not everyone uses my charitable donation for good, but that doesn't mean that I stop trying. That doesn't mean that I have to give up. I don't want to stop trying to show a little of the love of Jesus Christ through my actions. I've been turned down a couple of times. A kind no thank you. I actually had one man tell me, "I'm sorry, I cannot eat what you have in the bag." "Then I'll buy you something you can eat." I had one man tell me, "I really didn't care about him. Why am I talking to him?" That was heartbreaking for me. I did care about him, and I did care about his welfare. I wanted very much to help him, but he turned me away, and that made me very sad. But it did not dissuade me, though. I kept going, and I've learned many things through short conversations with homeless individuals, including some very scary-looking ones. I never let one unhappy person stop me. One never knows, but my one act of kindness just might be the very last hope someone who has lost all hope has. Peter's letter today tells us that we should not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among us to test us. We shouldn't be surprised at all, as though something strange were happening to us. We are to rejoice that we are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that we may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. In other words, don't be surprised when our offers or actions are refused. Don't be hurt. Don't give up. We will shout and rejoice when Jesus' glory is revealed in others. Peter also tells us today that after we have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish us. That is the best news of all. Everything we do will be strengthened and supported by God. But we have to do something. Because as the disciples have left long ago, we are now the ones in the world. We are the world. I'm going to leave you today with the words to We Are the World. Don't worry, I'm not going to sing. But I want you to think about them and what it is that we can do in our world. There comes a time when we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one. There are people dying, and it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can't go on pretending day by day that someone, somewhere, will soon make a change. We are all a part of God's great big family, and the truth you know, love is all we need. Send them your heart so they'll know that someone cares, and their lives will be stronger and free. As God has shown us by turning stone to bread, so we must all lend a helping hand. When you're down and out, there seems no hope at all. But if you just believe, there's no way we can fall. Let's realize that a change can only come when we stand together as one. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start giving. There's a choice we're making. We're saving our own lives. It's true, we'll make a better day, just you and me.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.